Oh, Whitney, Whitney, Whitney Houston. And that's the way we begin this edition of The Song Is You with the one, the only, Walker Freeland, who's here in our studio.
It's so exciting to be here.
Oh, my God.
It's a thrill.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Finally, it's about time.
Finally. Well, that's what you wrote to me on Facebook.
Yes.
You said, you know, okay, it's about time. You're clicking away. You know, like, how many years have you been doing what you do?
7 years.
Seven. Okay, I've been at it for about 14.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Well, gosh, Whitney Houston, All at Once. I sang it in Sunday school when I was 7. That's the first thing that comes to mind is that memory.
Wait, as a solo?
Mm-hmm. I got up on stage and I sang All at Once in Sunday school at 7 o'clock, a cappella. gayer than Richard Simmons in a pastel bathhouse. But I was feeling the spirit, Bonnie.
I was feeling
the spirit. I really was. And the kids applauded. They didn't quite know what to make of me, but they were very sweet.
What moved you besides the spirit? What moved you to do that?
Well, I had just discovered Whitney Houston. And I had a nanny. Her name was Portia. And she introduced me to Whitney Houston. From a parental point of view, she was kind of a nightmare because she used to curse at me constantly. But I loved her because she introduced me to Whitney Houston. And she brought over the cassette of her debut album.
It was a cassette. I love it.
It just became...
No, wait, you had a nanny?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
This was in Baltimore, where I grew up. And
kind
she,
of a well-to-do sort of setting, or
mm-hmm, okay, yeah,
right.
rich parents, and Portia was from Baltimore, and she had the cassette of Whitney Houston, and that cassette became my best friend, and I mean, I slept with the thing. And
what was it about it?
Well, I think Whitney Houston was in a way an introduction to myself because she taught me how to sing. I mean, I discovered I could sing because of Whitney Houston and listening to that record and trying to mimic her. I mean, that's really what I was doing, is I was mimicking her.
Singing along.
I wanted to be her. I wanted to be Whitney Houston. And
did you ever become Whitney Houston later in a certain way? Or
no.
No, okay. Wait.
But
you weren't into drag or anything?
No, but you know, you never know what'll happen. I mean, I'm 35. I'm open to it.
When you put that out there in the universe, you know what happens. Anything can happen, Walker. I'm just
That's
saying.
Right.
I wondered about your name. Is fascinating. Walker Vreeland. It does sound like, did you come from, you said wealth. I mean, mm-hmm. Did you come from old wealth, a longstanding family
Blue
in Baltimore?
Bloods, wasps. Blue,
yes, okay.
And I say that with a lot of love because I'm a wasp and I'm proud of it. But
join the club. Give me a high five, baby.
Right.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, you know, it's my, I guess Vreeland is Dutch. So, and then my mom's side is English. And I was born in New York City, but I grew up in Baltimore.
And are the better for it or not necessarily?
I hated it when
really?
I lived
yeah.
there. I mean, you know, I talk about singing this song in Sunday school and the reception was warm, but the reception was not not as warm in regular school. And the kids, this is so funny to me now, they called me Whitney on the football field. And
what,
you know,
where what were you on the football field? Were you
well,
playing?
Yeah, just imagine that. I mean, first of all, me on a football field in and of itself is
how tall
ridiculous.
Are you? How tall are you?
5'10".
Okay, well.
But I didn't know how to play football. I didn't know what I was doing there. And the kids called me Whitney. I mean, yelled it across the field. Yo, Whitney, throw me the ball.
Oh.
Isn't that a lovely accent?
Yeah,
Baltimore
lovely,
accent.
Right, right.
And of course, they might have been making fun of me. They probably were, but I didn't care. Like I said, you know, bring it on. I wanted to be Whitney. So I loved it.
You loved that. You loved the singing part. So you knew that you had something. You had a talent
mm-hmm.
using your voice.
Yes, yes, and that's what the kids were responding to, I think, because I was always singing, and I was always singing Whitney Houston.
Can you give us a little bit of
Oh,
all at
gosh,
once? No?
I don't think so.
No?
Okay,
I won't put you on the spot here.
Oh, gosh.
Come on.
No, I wasn't prepared to sing.
Especially
I
after
Whitney.
How was this as an exercise for you, choosing your top 10?
It was an amazing experience. It was kind of like writing the first chapter of my autobiography or outlining a memoir. It was kind of like that. It was like outlining the chapters of a memoir. And I loved the experience. I mean, I really, it took me a while because I came up with 50 songs and then cut
songs,
and then
right.
40 and then 20 and then, so it was.
And I love that you said you didn't listen to any of these songs before you came in to do the show. That's so awesome. So
well,
now
I wanted
you're re-listening to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Rediscovering. And how about Billy Joel in your memoir?
Oh, my goodness. Billy Joel, you know, I'm someone who's always thought that Billy Joel is just a brilliant lyricist. I mean, he's a sophisticated songwriter overall. But as a lyricist,
Have you interviewed him?
I haven't.
I would either.
Love
oh,
to.
I know.
I would love to one day.
Billy, we're putting it out there. Walker Vreeland, Bonnie Grice, come to both stations.
Yes.
Come,
yes.
Please. You know, we love you.
You know, just the imagery in his lyrics. They paint a picture. They tell a story. And this song that I picked, Summer Highland Falls, is, I discovered it when I was, 14. And, it's so interesting. It's a song all about manic depression, which I didn't know at the time. I didn't really discover that until much later when I was diagnosed as bipolar. And I thought that was really interesting that I, maybe my part of my unconscious was responding to something that I just innately understood about myself at 14. But that's what the song's all about. And I was so kind of surprised to.
But it's
when
such
I discovered
a beautiful
that.
Song, too.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. And, I speak openly, just to say this, I speak openly about it because I think mental illness is so stigmatized.
Still.
And, it's important to me that I kind of do my part to wear down that stigma and also just to connect with other people who are out there who are suffering to say, it's okay. You're not a broken person. You're still whole and it can get better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep. And so let's hear Billy Joel's version of it.
Times I've ever known. And I believe there is a time for meditation in cathedrals of our own. Now I have seen that sad surrender in my lover's eyes, and I can only stand apart and sympathize, for we are always what our situations hand us. The sadness or euphoria. So we'll argue and we'll compromise and realize that nothing's ever changed. Separate conclusions are the same. Now we are forced to recognize our inhumanity. Our reason coexists with our insanity. And though we choose between reality and madness, it's either sadness or euphoria.
Walker Vreeland picking Billy Joel. You know what else I hear in this song? Walker is the classical pianist in Billy Joel, right?
Yes, that classical influence, absolutely. And the rise and fall of the notes.
Which matches the kind of bipolar thing that it's about.
Exactly. Exactly.
What I love this. Walker Vreeland from WBAZ, Light on the Bays. He's the afternoon voice. He was personality of Best of the Best last year for Dan's Papers. Up for it again.
Oh, as and are you.
Oh, please.
Ms. Bonnie Bryce.
We ought to share one. You know
we
what I mean?
Should.
We should just make it so that it's a tie. How
Thank
about with
you.
All of the personalities? We can all show up hand in hand and say, hey, man, you know.
Can we just agree now?
Can we just agree? Or you know what I'd love to do is nominate my listeners as best of the best.
Best audience, listeners.
Best community.
On the North and South Fork.
North
Absolutely.
And South Fork, right? This is the best community, I think.
Oh, it's incredible.
Do you feel at home here?
I do. I mean, I partly grew up out here. So when I moved out here, though, to work, to be on the radio, I found a different home. I found a different kind of support and just a whole new world. Opened up to me.
Yeah, that's great. But so you were very open just earlier about being diagnosed with bipolar syndrome. How can you spell
Of course. I'm very open about it. So
your listeners know this.
Oh, my listeners know all of it. They know what antidepressants I'm on. They know all of it, Bonnie.
What do you recommend?
You know, Celexa is doing really well right now. Just a generic version, you know, no bells and whistles.
How about Zoloft?
Zoloft, that was the first one I was ever prescribed. And then I kind of wore that off.
And did you have ADHD?
No,
did you have any
none
of that.
No. I grew up in the 80s before the whole ADD, ADHD diagnosis became so prevalent, you know. But, you know, I always struggled. And really, you know, I was thinking about it yesterday that I don't know, you know, if I hadn't been bipolar or diagnosed as bipolar, I don't know that I'd be in radio today.
Why is that?
Well, because I've always struggled with depression and anxiety and all of those wonderful things growing up. And it sort of came to a head. I was an actor. From the time I was very young and trained as an actor and was an actor. And all of it kind of culminated, struggling with depression for years and then sort of compounded by being overprescribed psychopharmaceuticals and trying to juggle more medications than the brain is really meant to juggle at once. And then sort of compounded again and exacerbated again by a cruise ship debacle, which is a whole other story, which I wrote a monologue about called From Ship to Shape. It all kind of culminated. And I had a breakdown in my late 20s, and I was hospitalized briefly. And it was really an amazing experience, I have to say. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Hmm. And, why?
Well, because of just the experience that I can say that I was there and survived it and came back from it. And
this was in New York?
And am better for it, I think. I think I'm a better, maybe kinder person because of it. This was when I was living in New York, mm-hmm. Yeah. And when I came out of the hospital, I was on so much lithium that I didn't know what was going on. And literally, I was standing on the street on the Lower East Side, and it came to me out of the blue, I'm going into radio. And it didn't really necessarily make any rational sense at the time, but I was following some kind of inner guidance or intuition. And I went to broadcasting school, which you can take it or leave it. But at the time, it was really good for me it gave my life some structure. It gave me someplace to go during the day. It gave me something to do during the day.
Radio, though? I mean, did you hear it? You knew you wanted to use
yes.
your voice
Well,
somehow.
I had always dreamed of being on the radio. And it didn't really make sense. But now, looking back on it, it makes a lot of sense. Because as a kid, I was always recording. Was always recording audio. And I just was blown away by the fact that I could record my voice or other voices and then play it back.
Did you like your voice?
I don't know.
It's always one thing that's tough. People say, oh, I hate to hear my voice.
I mean, certainly
back.
When I started in radio, it took a long time to accept my voice and really find it. But, you know, thinking back now, it makes a lot of sense that I'm in broadcasting, not only because I loved recording, but because I was always also commenting or commentating on what was going on around me. It was kind of like I'd always do play-by-plays of just ordinary, perfunctory life. And now Dad walks into the kitchen. It was stuff like that. And then I had one of those early karaoke machines. And I put the speaker in one room, and I stretched the mic into another and closed the door and pretended I had my own radio show. And I, just couldn't believe I was always so blown away that I could be in one room talking and my voice could be coming out in another room. And in a way, I'm still kind of
in awe of it.
In awe of that.
You're
fascinated
following
your heart. By it.
You're following your heart, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, and that's kind of how I landed here.
And how many years has this next duo been a part of your life, Liza and Judy?
I discovered actually Liza and Judy at the same time with this concert. Judy and Liza live at the London Palladium.
And we should say Judy and Liza.
Judy, excuse me, you're absolutely right.
Hello.
Judy and Liza. I discovered this, Judy and Liza live at the Palladium. And I, it's a young Liza. She's 17 years old. And there's just something about watching that kind of talent that it hasn't quite been shaped yet. Mm. And her talent's so big that you can tell that almost she doesn't know quite what to do with it. There's just something so exciting about watching and hearing that kind of enormous talent right out of the box. Mm.
And then the mother and daughter dynamic.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, and what's this song we're going to hear?
This song is Gypsy in My Soul.
Just the gypsy in my soul. There's something calling me from way out yonder. It happens to be the gypsy.
Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
I'm speechless. And you can't be that way on radio, right? Oh, my God. That was all Liza, right?
Mm-hmm. 17 years old. Oh, I know.
So what was, I haven't seen the video. What was Judy Garland doing when
your
daughter?
She walks off stage and lets Liza have her moment. And they each have solos throughout that concert. And then they do several duets as well. But
why'd you pick this one? Just, again, seeing
when
the talent.
When I heard that song for the first time, I couldn't believe it. I mean, that seemingly limitless vocal range. I just couldn't believe it. And of course, I mean, the whole concert is amazing, but that song, I mean, I just, I...
Have you ever sung it?
Love affair. No, no. I wouldn't dare sing it, but, you know, it's just, wow.
It's... Judy and Liza, too. I mean, is that kind of, now, with all due respect, kind of stereotypical?
Oh, my gosh. It's a huge cliche. It's a huge gay cliche. But you know what? I'm at a point where I don't care. I can own it. And cliches are cliches for a reason. And
And you've owned yourself.
I've accepted it. I've owned the cliche about
myself.
You've owned
yourself.
You know, that's so interesting you bring that up, because there were several moments when I was putting this list together when I thought, oh my gosh, this is very revealing. This really shows if I'm going to be true, if I'm going to be honest, and this is my list, it is me. It's me. It's what I love.
And it's wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you.
How could you not appreciate the talent that we just heard? And as you say, she was 17?
17.
Ah!
And you know, I want to say too that I love Liza at all ages and all stages. And I've met her a bunch of times out here. And obviously the voice has changed significantly for a variety of reasons. But whatever notes she can't hit now, she compensates for, I think, quite beautifully with her acting. I think she's a marvelous actress. And she said before that she thinks of each song as a movie. And ever since I heard her say that, I've watched her perform in a different way. And I sort of see her performing as very cinematic, as though the whole world is being created with a song.
Mm. How about this next one, then? Is this creating a whole world? I think Gaia means Earth, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
And, you know, the environment is such a huge issue right now with the protests in New York.
Right.
But this song is so interesting. Do you ever have a song where the first time you heard it and the circumstances of your life at that time when you first heard the song, that becomes your primary connection to it as opposed to what the song is really all about? That is the case for this song. It just reminds me of moving into my first New York apartment, because I hadn't moved anything in except my stereo. And I had one of those early Bose speaker systems, the Cubes from like the early 90s, which I still have to this day. I'd only moved in the stereo and the speakers, and I played this song for the first time. And there was something about the way that the song bounced off the empty walls and floor and the acoustics that just made it so haunting in a beautiful way. Mm. And I always remember that moment and where I was in my life at that time and what was going on.
And smell the smells, all of that, the power of music, right? Yeah.
And it's a beautiful song. It's all about the earth and how we need to kind of save the earth from ourselves.
James Taylor.
Yeah.
I was walking home from work, petaled sky and the rosy dawn, the world turning on the burning sun, sacred wet green one that we live on, Gaia. Said the automobile, and we ran. Run for your life, take to your heels. Foolish school of fish on wheels, Gaia. Turn away from your animal kind. Try to leave your body just to live in your mind. If you were your own creation, as if you were the chosen nation, the world around you just a rude and dangerous invasion.
They don't turn their heads as they see me ride by, but a little brown maverick is winking her eye. She said, oh, what a beautiful morning. Yeah. Well, what a wonderful day. I want y'all to know, I've got a beautiful feeling. I've got everything. Everything going my way, my way. How y'all doing to me now?
I am so glad you chose Ray Charles.
I love it when those horns come in.
Oh, yeah, right? Right.
Oh.
Walker Vreeland with us on The Song Is You and picking some of his favorites. And we did a nice segue from JT, James Taylor, into not Justin Timberlake, but James Taylor into Ray Charles. And we're recording this on Ray Charles' birthday.
Yes, we are.
There we go.
Happy birthday, Ray Charles.
What do you like about Ray, Brother Ray?
Well, everything. And I love that song. It makes me happy. You know, as someone, obviously, you can probably tell at this point that I have a little bit of a ballad problem.
Hello, my name is Walker.
And I am not in recovery. I refuse to recover from my addiction to ballads and torch songs. But this song, it's not a ballad. It just makes me so happy. And Ray Charles is amazing just by himself, but Ray Charles and Count Basie and the Count Basie Orchestra.
Oh. No better, right? You can't get better than that. Radio makes you happy as well, obviously, right? You
do very happy.
You do it very well. And we understand that Brian Cosgrove, our own, hired you.
Yes, he did.
Woo! At WEHM.
At WEHM, that's right. That was my first job.
Wow.
Little did he know that I was, you know, crazy.
Crazy.
Hire me, please. Hire me.
And the rest is history,
that's
as they
right.
say.
That's right.
So we're moving back into a ballad sort of feel, right? Mm-hmm. With Tori Amos next.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Tori Amos. I was just obsessed with Tori Amos in high school and straight through college. The love affair lasted a long, long time. And it wasn't, I think, for me, it wasn't just about her being a woman alone at the piano, which was very cool. But she made love to the piano.
Oh, boy.
It was such a sensuality to her.
There's another way of putting it that people have, but we can't say that thanks to the FCC.
So. That's right.
Yeah.
And I've always loved the piano. It's probably my favorite instrument.
Really? Do you play?
A little bit.
Okay.
I mean, by ear. And it's been a very long time.
That's got to
be
painful.
Probably be very rusty.
Your head down on the... No, never mind. Sorry. I'm just weird. Please shut up. So Tori Amos and Precious...
Precious Things.
But he caught me here. Yes, my loyalty's turned like my anchor in the seventh grade, running after Billy, running after the rain. Holding on to his picture, dressing up every day. I wanna smash the face out. Those beautiful boys, those Christian boys. So you can make me calm. It doesn't make you
Jesus. Let them breathe. Let them wash away. Please pray. Leave no man.
Well, that's a ballad Tori Amos style, I guess, right?
Definitely.
From the album Little Earthquakes.
Yes, her first.
Her very first. We're going, wait, how far back are we with this song? About?
Oh, gosh.
Early
90s? 91?
91, yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Tori Amos. So tell us the story. You got to interview Tori Amos.
I did. It was kind of foreshadowing of what was to come for my career in broadcasting, in a way, and my love of interviewing. I was standing in line for a Tori Amos concert, which I've been to many over the years. And I was in line at like 5 in the morning. I think it was for her show at the Beacon. But I can't remember. And anyway, there was someone from MTV there, and he was looking for the most diehard Tori Amos fans. And I gave him my name, and they ended up calling me and interviewing me over the phone, and then they chose me. It was me and, you know, 3 other kids. I was 19. Oh, and it was wild.
So you met her. You got to interview her.
Yeah.
What was, like, the best question that you asked Tori Amos?
Well, her album at that time, she had just released From the Choir Girl Hotel, and I asked her, where is the Choir Girl Hotel for you? And I sort of understood that it was a metaphor, but she didn't know that I knew it was a metaphor. So she sort of explained, the Choir Girl Hotel, it's not a real place. It's metaphorical. It's the place where the song girls come. But, you know, I think I also asked her, do you ever get sick of your fans? Do you ever just want to push them away? Because she has such a, you know, intense following. And I think, gosh, I think those were, I think I asked 2 or 3 questions. We were all sitting in a hotel room at the Marriott across from MTV.
And it was very casual.
She was
lovely.
You're
standing in line and you get chosen, right?
I know.
Yeah.
It was great. But it was the beginning of my love of interviewing. It made me realize, gosh, I really love talking to artists.
Are you a good
and
listener?
Creative people. Yes. And I think artists are just the most fascinating people in the world. Mm. You know, they're existing on a whole different plane because they're so sensitive. They're just so in touch with being alive.
Yeah. I've often wondered and wished that more artists wouldn't run for office.
Yeah.
You know, because I'd love to get their perspective on
absolutely
how to run things.
And
you
they're
know?
Great storytellers.
Oh, yeah.
And they have great stories to tell, and they just have an awareness.
Now, here's a man who's got lots of stories to tell, Jason Robert Brown from Broadway. You had mm-hmm. to include something from Broadway, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love this song especially. This was his response to 9/11. Mm-hmm. I think he wrote it just weeks after 9/11, and the recording, it was recorded live at a cathedral. I don't know where exactly. I think it was on the Upper West Side. But it's just, it features Jason Robert Brown is singing one of the lead vocal parts, and Lilias White, the incredible Lilias White, is singing the other. And there's a big Broadway chorus behind them. And just, you know, when you hear the song, just imagine, just remember what New York felt like at that time, if you were there, and how shell-shocked everyone was, but there was also that feeling of coming together.
Whatever you said doesn't hurt. whatever we meant and whatever we did is lost in the water. Whatever I felt, I've forgotten. Whatever I planned, I released. But come take my hand, come down to the water, come down to the water. Where people are coming together, and people are falling apart, and no one can hide. We're caught in the tide and punched in the heart. Rest of our lives, for the rest of our lives.
People are coming together.
Hold on.
People are coming.
Come down to the water. Come down to the water. Where people are coming together, and people are. Try to rewind, to reset and restart.
People are louder than fire.
People are stronger than knives. We'll pick up the slack, but we'll never go back for the rest of our lives. For the rest of
coming together.
Nobody loves a gospel build like I do.
Jason Robert Brown's Coming Together from Wearing Someone Else's Clothes and his answer to 9/11. Beautiful. And chosen by Walker Veland on the song is You. We got to get moving. We're almost to the end here.
I know. Ooh,
we got to lose a couple. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Oh,
time
no.
flies when
yes.
you're having this much fun.
So we had daughter. Now we have mother.
Yes. Yes. Judy Garland. What can you say? I mean, I think my love of Judy Garland, and again, it's another huge gay cliche, but I just love masters of the vocal genre, and maybe it's related to my love of theater and storytelling. I always found that great singers were also great storytellers, and in their interpretations of songs. And there's no one who could do that quite like Judy Garland. And I always loved big voices. When I was like 15, I was a huge Barbara Streisand fan.
Mm.
And I was, oh. I was until I discovered Judy Garland. And I realized that Judy Garland's voice, I love big voices. And she just has a big voice. And if I had to choose between a brilliant interpreter with a small voice and a brilliant interpreter with a huge voice, I'm going to choose the huge voice.
Let's hear it.
He must know something. Don't say nothing. He just keeps rolling. He keeps on rolling along. He don't practice. He don't plant cotton and then let plants them. They're soon forgotten. But old man River, he just keeps rolling along.
Now, don't you feel like you're right in the audience
yes.
there?
Yes.
Oh!
It's from Showboat, of course, Jerome Kern and Oscar Hammerstein, about life on the Mississippi from an African-American point of view. But, I mean, to hear her, it's just so powerful. You see and hear in her voice that just a whole spectrum
does
of human emotion.
Does this make you want to just sing like her? Does this make you want to sing out?
Yeah. It makes me just want to be alive, really. I mean, it just... It fills me emotionally. I think that's why I gravitate towards ballads and torch songs, because they fill me emotionally. Even sad songs make me so happy because they fill me emotionally.
And this is not exactly the kind of music you play on your show.
No,
Walker Freeland.
Not at all. Not at all.
I mean, would Judy Garland, if she came back today, would she be able to make it on American Idol? Could you see a Judy Garland? I could not see a Bob Dylan. I don't think Bob Dylan would ever.
No,
you know?
It's kind of sad. But, oh, gosh, I mean, the video, if you have a chance to see the video of that performance, I mean, you just see from complete and utter defeat and her fragility to that choice moment where she decides that she's going to dig down and pick herself up and keep going to sort of triumph.
And that's what you did in your life. That's what you've done.
Yeah, I suppose so. I suppose so.
So you do identify with her, even beyond the voice and the vocal power.
Mm-hmm.
You identify with music in a very visceral way, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But then, of course, we always close our show out with a guilty pleasure.
Oh, gosh.
Which is something that in some cases, you may even be almost embarrassed to admit that you listen to or like.
Yeah. I mean, what can I say? This song is ridiculous because it's
I love it.
It's big and it's torchy and cheesy and, you know, it's so.
And you said you have no
so
clue what's
silly.
It's even about.
I have no idea what the song is about. I don't care what it's about. I'm not necessarily a huge Linda Eater fan, but this song, I mean, talk about being filled emotionally. This does it for me.
A guilty pleasure. To close out. It's called Vienna.
Aren't they all guilty pleasures, though? Yeah, that's how I feel.
This has been my guilty pleasure, having you on my show. Thank you so much, Walker.
Thank you so much, Bonnie, for having me. It's been so much fun.
What a pleasure. Walker Vreeland, and tune in afternoons, WBAZ.
The Song Is You, produced and hosted by Bonnie Grice. Engineering and post-production by Kyle Lynch. Follow us on Facebook. The Song Is You is a production of BLG Productions and WPPB, Peconic Public Broadcasting.
It was the best time of my life.